It Takes Two, Amy Eiler, JJ Gordon. Amy's out. I've got a whole bunch of great guest hosts with me right now. I've got Abby Miller. I've got Natalie Deutsch-Laplante. And then joining me as well, the fellas from Replay Games over there. I've got Cassidy. I've got Carl. So let's start with this, fellas. Before we talk about what you've done recently, let's talk about what Replay Games is. Because, you know, we've had you on the show before. You showed us where Nintendo was born back in the day of, like, the little cards before video games were even a thought. But what is Replay Games?
We are a community-supported video game arcade and now board games. We have over 6,000 video games and 600 board games, ranging from the PlayStation 5 to the original Atari. We got 10 gaming PCs for 5v5 League, Rocket League, all sorts of stuff. And we got two virtual reality machines, too.
Okay, so for the majority of our listening audience, that just went right over their head, right? So there are people, though, who think, well, a video game is a video game. And that just clearly isn't true anymore. These virtual experiences that you can have are amazing. The one I'm kind of obsessed with is there's someone who rebuilt a Kmart as it would have looked in 2001, and you can walk through the whole store. They've got music that plays. There's blue light specials. So if you've ever wanted to re-feel what it was like to be in a Kmart.
Does it have the smell of the food court?
You know, you've got to do that on your own. Like, so start popping something here for an experience next week. So Replay Games, you had a great location in downtown Fargo. Now you guys have a new great location. Carl, tell me about the new digs.
Yeah, so we went from roughly 5,000 square feet, and now we're just over 6,000 square feet. And we just have so many new things to bring. We upgraded to arcade cabinets as well. So those are a couple new things that we have.
Oh, what cabinets you got?
We have Metal Slug. We have Tekken 7.
Alien vs. Predator is the third
one. Yeah, AVP. Yeah. Yeah. So those are a couple cool things that we added in.
As a non-video game, like, connoisseur, I'm not going to use the word nerd here, but what is a cabinet other than things that you
good
store
question,
things
Natalie.
In? Is that okay? Sorry.
So, yeah. 25 years ago, what did kids do? They didn't play PlayStation. They had to go to the arcade and play on a cabinet. I got my joysticks and my four buttons, and here we go.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, Carl, can I correct something here real quick? Because you said 25 years, and we're all getting older. Right. I think you mean 35 to 40 years.
Yeah.
Because 25 years ago, I was playing on a PlayStation.
Yeah. That is true. It feels like it was not that long ago.
I know. I had my 20th high school reunion this year, and sometimes it's tough for me to be like, oh, yeah, if I want to talk about 1995, it's a lot longer.
Yeah. That is true.
You're talking about the old stand-up, like you'd find in an arcade.
Exactly. Yep. And so they're included in our pass. So you just come in and you have free range for that stuff too.
Okay, so let's talk board games, because that's an interesting twist for a company that's so well known for the electronic side of gaming to say, like, listen, we're also going to get into the retroest, most gaming of all when it comes down to the board games.
Yeah, the way everything lined up for us when we got our new location, like, everybody knew us for the console gaming that we had, and we brought Carl Miranda on, who had purchased all of Section 9's equipment when they closed. And so
rest in peace, Section 9.
Yes.
Those guys had a great run, didn't they?
Yep. And we had a really awesome working relationship with Section 9. So it was great to be able to keep that going. And then Magic Meeples on 13th Avenue, they were struggling to keep things going, and so we came up with an agreement with the owner to buy out the inventory. We actually wanted to bring her on as an employee for a long time, and then she really wanted to get her health insurance back online, so I definitely feel that for her. So, the board games she was doing is literally the same concept. You come play by the hour, by day pass. You can stay as long as you want to play board games. So it's a happy marriage to what we were already doing with the video games.
Okay, so were board games part of either of your, like, background? You know, like, Cassie, you were coding video games for a while, so how are you when it comes to rolling dice and trading cards, you know?
So I played games growing up across the board, but the board games are definitely they've taken a new twist in the last 10 years with a lot of the European standards coming to play with victory points. So you think about, like, Ticket to Ride or Small World, there's just a really common theme between those games. So those got really popular in the last 10 years. And so those ones, I'm still learning a lot of those games. However, like, the idea of game development is pretty much universal between board game and video game. It's just the media that you play on is different. And then, you know, years of Dungeons and Dragons. So,
oh, good for you. Good for you. One of the things I find great about the opportunity that you're giving people is I've been trying to get a PlayStation 5 for, 3 years now?
Yeah.
And every time I find it's in stock, by the time I get there, they're like, yeah, that was days ago. I can't get a hold of that. Some board games nowadays are hundreds of dollars. Mm-hmm. And so going to replay games, it's kind of like getting a test drive for some of this stuff, right? Yep. So you can go and you can play the latest VR without having to do the full investment into it, which is, I think, something that I know a lot of your customer base really, really likes. And I think there are parents out there who like it too. You know, like, let's see if Sally really enjoys this before we put all the cash into it.
Yeah, get a taste in, you know, test it, try it, and find out if you like it before you buy it versus buying it and they play it for 5 minutes and sweet, there goes $60, you know.
So. Yeah, especially if you're not familiar with VR. Like, I did VR the other day at a gaming place and I was very nauseous afterwards. So,
were
like,
you?
I would, if I invested in something like that thinking it was going to be great. Now, I don't know if the quality was that great on the device that I was playing with. It was, you know, made for children. But I also just, I felt like, I mean, the same way I feel going on a normal roller coaster, but this one was just really digital.
Yeah. Do you find a lot of people come in because they want to test out virtual reality? They want to see what VR is like? And it also to have someone there who can kind of explain how it works too?
Yeah, we've had a tremendous amount of people coming in for VR. You know, there's not very many places in town to do it. So it's really nice to be able to provide it. And we also provide a pretty extensive play time as well. A lot of places that you go, they're like, okay, you get 10 minutes where we're offering 30 minutes. And a lot of people have been taking that 30 minutes and then rolling it back into another 30 minutes just because they're having a ton of fun. And that is another thing that we really strive for is getting the customer set up. A lot of places that you go, in town, out of town, doesn't matter. They just like hand you a headset and they're like, here you go, have fun. And if I had to do that, I wouldn't know what I was doing right away. So your first 5 minutes is learning how to play and then you get five more minutes and then they take your headset off.
That's cool.
What was your VR experience? Well, I played a game called Start Menu. It was a lot of fun.
Right,
oh, we
exactly.
did that one, I guess, in Vegas. That one was really cool.
Yeah, we did a VR immersive experience where you were a Ghostbuster.
Yeah.
And they had built like a plywood like chute that you would walk down so that there were actual physical things. Not that you saw it. It was all, like, if you lifted up the headset, it was all just, you know, gray mat.
Mm-hmm.
But it fleshed out that world. Like, you get in an elevator at one point. And then they had, a 4D thing where you could smell burning marshmallow. It was wild. But it's the type of thing where there's no way something like that can sustain itself unless you're in a place like the Venetian in Las Vegas.
For sure.
Where there's thousands of people walking by every day. But I think what's cool is that so many of these virtual reality experiences are being geared towards home users.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's something that you like, it's something that, you know, other than just like, oh, I spent $400 to download a game where you watch a whale swim by, right? Like that's a hard sell for me, right? But I think getting to go to replay games and trying something like that out is, you know, entirely up my alley. Plus, I want, before we get too far, the retro gaming of replay games. This is the thing that should interest a lot of people. If you've got young kids and let's say you were really good at Mario Kart on the Super Nintendo, trying to find that cartridge in a working, you know, console these days can be tough. Replay games, you can take your kids on and they've got everything and you've got it all set up and ready to roll, which is something I think as nostalgia keeps pushing my generation is really important and is going to be a great business model.
But do you, the user, get to blow on the cartridge if it's not working, or is that something you guys take care of?
We'll take care of it because it's actually not good for the cartridge to do that. Done it for 30 years and never had an issue, but yeah, no, we use rubbing alcohol.
Okay, so, hey.
Really?
Yeah, pure rubbing alcohol. So.
Oh, you don't
good
want like
know.
Like Cheetos dust coming out of the mouth? And
we all thought it was good for it back
right,
then.
Yeah.
Apparently it's not.
Yeah. I still do it.
Apparently if
pretty
you're
much
really
anything.
Spitty blower, you could like actually short out your cartridge or system doing it. So
you know what happened.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be neat to trace back to where that started? Because we're talking about a time before Reddit, before YouTube.
Yep.
You know, they didn't say in Nintendo Power Magazine, like, if your cartridge isn't working, give it a quick, you know, little huff puff on the back there. So I trying think to figure
back
out
back
where
the cartridge actually says like don't blow on these.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's where it stemmed from. People read that and they're like, I'm gonna try it anyway.
Yeah, like that was the easiest solution. Like, it says not to, but I'm gonna do it.
They're not talking to me. They're talking to the other people. Yeah. Right?
There's the rebels of that generation.
Yeah, and there's
at
a lot
least
of
I'm
myth
not licking
that.
It.
Yeah. The thing that used to drive me nuts is how you'd try really hard to push down on the Nintendo to get the cartridge to lock in. And then if that didn't work, you'd try to be really gentle and slow and wait for the click. And then all of a sudden you'd have like your sister come in and she'd be like, what, like this? Boom, fires up right away.
I piss off my employees all the time with that. They'd be there for 5 minutes struggling with like a original Nintendo or whatever. And I'll go and just boop. It's good.
Yeah, so there you go. That's the fun. And so if you have nostalgia for that type of thing, and when you think about it, the people who first bought a Nintendo are closer to retirement now than they are to like starting their careers. What an opportunity to go back and to kind of get into some of the nostalgia. I know during COVID when people were doing a lot of like homeschooling, you guys set up an amazing opportunity for them out there. So clearly you're involved in the community and there's a lot that you guys can do. I'm also curious too to know, you ever have like people come over and be like, yeah, we've got, you know, so-and-so's birthday party and I'm going to have like 8 kids and I need an experience for them that is not just jumping on trampolines, nothing against jumping on trampolines, but I need something where they can be a little more engaged.
Yeah. So we definitely do birthday parties. I think so far this month we've had like 8 or something.
Yeah, was it Monday last week where it was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon and a lady called and she's like, hey, can I do a birthday party at 7:30 tonight? And we're like, we have the space and availability. Yeah, let's do it.
Cool.
That's awesome. Okay, guys, replay games. Let's tell people how to find it if they want to come in, if they've got questions. I also know that if you've got an old system and old games and stuff like that, these are the people you're going to go talk to locally about getting stuff restored, seeing if there's a way to maybe get that old system up and running. Where are they going to find replay games?
We're downtown next to Reuters Bar and Third Drop Coffee, right in the middle of them at 109 Broadway North. It's the old Swanson Health Products building, if you remember that.
Oh, yeah, sure, nice. Sure. And I remember Reuters as well, so fantastic.
Sometimes.
Karaoke Thursday.
Certain parts.
So. Cassidy, Carl, thank you guys so much, and I'll see you at the next, start screen.
Yeah.
Sound good?
Thank you.
That's good.